should be our desire tonight. We'll just go ahead tonight and take the prayer request and get Brother Terry Horn, if he don't mind, to come and pray over these tonight. But Sister Esther Linichek asked for prayer. She's going to have surgery on Monday to remove a couple wisdom teeth, so let's remember her. Sister Kennedy would like us to remember Andrew. He's injured his back. He's having a lot of pain, plus has a job interview coming up shortly, so let's remember that. Also for Sister Margie Longoria down in Alabama, she's got some lung problems, and she's going to be seeing a specialist in November, so they'd like for us to remember her in prayer. Brother Gary Hall would like for us to remember his wife Jan. She's having surgery, and ask the church to just remember her in prayer. Brother Gary turns in a request for the family of Brian Armstrong in prayer. He passed away about 12:30 today after severe head injury on Wednesday. Brian was about 21 years old. They attend Brother Jason Jackson's church in Hardy, Arkansas. So let's remember that family for that devastating situation, that God can just comfort them. Brother Terry Stockton's sister had a massive stroke, and she needs our prayers. Let's remember them. Brother Don Rilbo is home streaming service tonight, fever, weakened body. Ask for our prayers. Also, Brother Frank Williams has had eye surgery. Ask the church to continue to pray for him. Brother Jim Hughes asked us to pray for his dad facing gallbladder surgery tomorrow. He says, I sure love and appreciate my brothers and sisters at Happy Valley. So let's pray for them. Also, Brother Joel Vickers from Kentucky had surgery today and is in ICU. So let's remember that situation. And then Sister Winters would like to thank everyone for praying for me and my sickness. And thanks for all the cards and calls. God bless you all. It's Sister Winters. So if we'll stand tonight, and let's just join with Brother Terry. He'll just come and take these knees to the Lord.
You know, when we pray, there's only one contingency, and that's can we believe? All things are possible if we can only believe. Now, when we pray, let's all pray together, and let's believe when we pray. We just don't want to be saying words and fixing our tractor. We want to believe for these requests. We want to put 1,000 in flight, 10,000, so let's believe for these requests. Heavenly Father, as we come tonight, dear God, we count it a great, great privilege to be in the house of God. We want to invite your presence. We ask you come among us tonight. Now, Lord, we look it out among the congregation, several hundred people, I suppose. And, Lord, we want to touch the hem of your garment. We want to say, first of all, God, thank you for salvation. I remember the prophet told us before we ask any petition, give the Lord thanks for what he means to us. God, I'm thankful that we're living in the end time. You've given us understanding, given us a direction and what we need to do to get prepared for that great day of translation. We're thankful for the word of the Lord. It comes across this pulpit, Lord, and you speak to your servants to speak the word of God, Lord. Thus saith the Lord, the word of God, spiritual food in due season, the ever-present water from the rock, the wonderful good news of salvation, what we need to do to make preparation. We're so thankful for that. I ask, dear Lord God, that if there's someone here tonight, as we approach this communion service, that we can have a real time of evaluation. Thank you for what you did for us 2,000 years ago. Lord, you laid your life down. You willingly laid your life down, but you said, I have power to lay it down. I have power to raise it up again. We're thankful, dear God, that we can be identified with our sacrifice. These requests, Lord, I pray, dear God, Sister Margie Longoria, she has a need. I pray that you'll be with her. Two or three that was requested is going to have surgery in the near future. I pray that you'll be with each one of them and guide the doctor's hand. Lord, let the surgeons, Lord, let them do what they've been trained to do, and the anesthesiologists and each one of the medical staff, Lord, do what they're supposed to do. And God, I know if we believe, you'll do what you promised to do, and that's heal that individual. All healing comes from you. Lord, as our brother comes to bring the word of life tonight, I pray, dear God, it will be come forth with the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And may we say it's been good to be in the house of God. Lord, we get to go to church tonight. When I woke up this morning, the first words out of my mouth was, God, we get to go to church tonight. And I'm so thankful for that. And not only just church, to have communion service, the preaching of the Word, the fellowship around the Word, to have a prayer meeting. Oh, God, what a tremendous opportunity we have. We're privileged to live in this free land. Each one of these requests that I'm holding, God, they've been read, and I pray that you'll undertake in behalf of each one, heal each one, and may it be a testimony of your grace in our life, in their life, and in the services to come. And we'll give you praise in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
You can be seated tonight. Well, in the town of Bethlehem, God came down to visit man. Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? He knew pain and loneliness as he wore that robe of flesh. Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? Too much on Calvary, that's for sure. If the brothers would like to come and lift the offering tonight, let's sing that new song that Louis taught us again, that Didn't I Walk on the Water? That's in G. Well, as I kneel in the darkness, in the middle of the night, I'm praying for assurance, everything's gonna be alright. Lord, I see another battle out in front of me, and I'm afraid I won't be able, and I'll go down in defeat. But he said, I walked on the water, I calmed the raging sea, I spoke to the wind, it hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I'd do it all again.
He said, do you remember, child, where I brought you from? Just take a look behind you and see just how far you've come.
I'm glad it's behind me.
And every time I ask you, didn't I deliver you? So why would you be thinking that I wouldn't see it through?
But he said, I walked on the water, I calmed the raging sea, I spoke to the wind, it hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I? Beside you, just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I'd do it all again. She was talking to the Father in a house that was once a home. Said, my bills are coming due, Lord. 6 days is not that long. She hears a voice so still and low. It says, I've moved like that before. I'll do this little thing, and I'll give you so much more. And he said, I walked on the water. I spoke to the wind, it hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I'd do it all again.
He said, do you remember just where I brought you from? Oh, take a look behind you, and look how far you come. And every time I ask you, did I deliver you?
Said, I walked on the water, I calmed the raging sea, I spoke to the wind, it hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave heaven just to die for your sin? I
searched until I found you, and I'd do it all again.
Amen. So you would know, F. So you would know, F. We don't have any special songs tonight, so let's just all sing really special. Let's sing So You Would Know. Sure, that's the right key. F, is that F? Okay.
Oh, how many times must I prove how much I love you? And how many ways must my love for you I show? And how many times must I rescue you from trouble so you would know just how much I love you? Didn't I wake you up this morning? You were clothed in your right mind. Didn't you walk right in your closet? He stepped right in time. Must I be a fence all around you? And how many nights must I wipe all your tears away? And how many storms must I bring you safely through so you would know how much I love you? This morning you were clothed in your right mind. Didn't you walk right in your closet? He said right in time. When you were weary from life's journey, did my angels carry you so you would know how much I
stand tonight, if you will. Brother Donnie, you want to come introduce Brother Darrell?
Are you happy to be in the house of the Lord?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Brother Darrell's going to come and speak for us tonight, and then he'll be serving communion to us, so we just want to open our hearts and see what the Lord has for us. Anybody come to church tonight with needs in your life? You know, I've always found out it's a bad time to go to the grocery store when you're hungry. You wind up getting off a bunch of stuff that ever was. But I've found out it's a good thing to come to church when you're hungry. God's got so many good things. Amen. So I trust you're hungry tonight, not only for His Word, but for His presence. For the supernatural, phenomenal part that preachers can study and put things together, but really, God's the only one that can be able to really go right down to where you are and to be able to speak to you. You believe He's that mindful of you tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Let's sing together. Harry, let's sing Amazing Grace. We'll ask Brother Darrell to come. just bring us the message, what the Lord's put on his heart, and we'll go straight into communion together. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Was lost, oh my, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now, everybody, thank you, Lord Jesus, once again. Oh, it's amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Lord, that saved a wretch like me. Oh,
I tell you, one of the happiest days of my life is when the doctors down in Chattanooga told us that Jessica would never see again, and she showed no indication of ever seeing again. And I kept asking her every day, "Do you see Daddy?" And she kept telling me, "I can't see you, Daddy." And people call and they said, "Is she seeing yet?" And I'd say, "Not yet. We're still believing." One of the happiest days of my life was when her eyes come open. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, to be blind and then see, friends. Amen. We was blind in Laodicea. We didn't have a clue. We was trying to serve him, trying to feel around, trying to get a hold of him. But he opened our eyes. Hallelujah. Let us see. Let us see what it took to please him. Amen. Amen. Like Enoch did. Enoch pleased God because he believed God. But God told him what to believe. And the same God has told us what to believe to please him. Hallelujah. What a privilege it is, friends, tonight. Do you love him? I know you do. Amen. If you have your Bible, turn with us to the book of Ephesians. We greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus. We count it an honor to be with you. Seems like we hardly ever get to stand here, but we always enjoy the opportunity. Appreciate Brother Donnie allowing us to come. And the Lord spoke to my heart, six, seven, 8 days ago. I know it was on a Wednesday morning, and told me I would be preaching here on Saturday night here. And so we just kept waiting and waiting. And Saturday, Brother Donnie texted us. We was down in Nashville, and the text come in. So we're here tonight because we believe the Lord wanted us to be here. And so we just trust something to be said to help you and encourage you. The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Amen. And so we count it an honor to be here. We just trust something to be said to help you. So I know it's communion night, and I guess maybe I got a reputation of being long-winded. But Brother Donnie says, I preach fast, you amen fast, and we'll get done fast. Amen. But yet we don't want to rush the Lord either. If you have your Bibles, turn with us to the book of Ephesians. We want to read there from chapter 5. We want to just read verse 27. And then also we want to read in our scripture reading tonight in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. Amen. So Ephesians chapter 5. Let's just read there verse 27. Paul says that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Amen. Now turn with me to 1 Peter. We want to read there from 1 Peter chapter 1. And let's just read starting at verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 18. For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. We wasn't redeemed by gold or by silver or by tradition, but we were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. As of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Amen. Amen. I want to just read this quote and we'll just bow our heads for prayer. But listen to this quote in the Message Communion. And when our blessed Lord in Gethsemane, when going there, when he was to be rejected at Jerusalem and the council was going to take his life, and when the eternal destination of every soul that ever was or would be on the earth rested upon his decision. Oh, how little mine was in comparison to that. How little yours was in comparison to that. Such a pity that we can't stand these little things. But in that great crucial hour, until he suffered knowing all things, until the water and the blood separated in his body, and great drops of sweat like blood dripped from his brow, he died more death in Gethsemane than he did on the cross. He was just at the event of this, just before the great battle was to start. He took the communion. He brought his disciples together to talk over things with them. And that's the way he does you and I. Just before the great battle of life starts, before the great battle of right and wrong begins to battle within us, God brings us to Gethsemane. He brings us to communion and he talks it over with us. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads. I want to speak to you tonight on battle scars. On battle scars. Heavenly Father, thy word is true. In the name of Jesus Christ tonight, by the same anointing that raised my Lord from the grave, may that same anointing tonight, God, take the preeminence of this service. Lord, anoint our lips to speak. Anoint our hearts to hear, Lord. We be careful to give you the praise and the honor. And on this communion night that we are gathered here, dear God, I pray, Lord, may our sick be healed. May the discouraged be encouraged. May those that are weary gain strength tonight, Lord, for the battle that lays ahead. We just love you, dear God. We thank you for the opportunity to serve you. Receive honor and glory unto thyself. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. And the bride says,
amen.
Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated this evening. Thank you, buddy. Now, we find here in Peter that Peter is telling us what kind of a sacrifice that was given for us. And not just the kind of a sacrifice, but he wanted us to understand the quality of the sacrifice. God just didn't give us a lamb, you know, that was blind, or a lamb with arthritis, or a lamb that was eat up with leprosy. No, this lamb was a perfect lamb. Pilate and Herod and them, they examined him because the lamb must be examined. And it was examined, and Pilate stood there and said, I find no fault in him. Huh? He was a lamb without spot or without blemish. I want you to understand tonight, when God gave us Jesus Christ, He didn't give us something second-handed. He didn't give us something, you know, that He was going to give it away anyway, so it really didn't bother Him to give it away. No, when He gave us Jesus Christ, He gave us His very heart. Jesus Christ was the very heart of God expressed on the earth. If you don't know what God thought about love, look at Jesus. Want to know what God thought about faith? Look at Jesus. He was the expression of God's heart. God gave us. He gave us the best He could give us. This very heart. Jesus Christ was the very heart of God. Now, if you want to see how valuable something is, look at the price that someone is willing to pay to have it. Here a few years ago, I was down in New Mexico preaching. And they took me to a man's house who's a producer in Hollywood. And he made Michael Jordan commercials and Michael Jackson Pepsi commercials. He produced those. And his house was worth millions of dollars. But it was fixed like the old Santa Fe in the old era of the West. And so the home, you know, the walls were still made in mud and how they done those things. And they took me into his house. And the reason they did was because I like Indian things. And his house was full of Indian things. And so they took me there and they said, Brother Darrell, this pot right here is worth so many thousands of dollars. This pot right here is worth so many thousands of dollars. I said, oh my, I'd give anything to touch it. They said, pick it up, look at it, handle it, he don't care. And so I was picking up these pots worth thousands of dollars. Some of them Apache, Navajo, different kinds of pots. And they say he paid so many thousands for this and so many thousands for that. And I thought, oh my, why would a man be willing to pay thousands of dollars for a clay pot? For a clay vessel? It would have to be that the one purchasing the vessel would see the value. It may not mean nothing to somebody else, but it meant something to him. And when our sisters walk into Walmart and these painted up Jezebels look at them like they're aliens, they may not think that they're very valuable, but in the eyes of God, they may look down upon us. Matter of fact, they may even turn their head from us. But I'd like to tell them tonight, look at us while you can. For in a little while, they're going to see, oh God, in a little while, they're going to see just how valuable we are to God. We are redeemed with the precious blood. That word precious means of great price, highly esteemed. By who? Not the world. They hated him. But he was highly esteemed of God. And God was willing to give something he considered precious. Oh God. For you. You know the story of the Teen Cow Brides. You all know the story. How the man had two daughters, and one of them was pretty and popular, and the other one was real shy and just kind of common. And he thought, oh my, figured he'd get maybe four, maybe five cows out of his pretty daughter. But he figured he'd be lucky to get one or two out of his commonly daughter. But there was a stranger come to the village. And he saw something in the youngest daughter. It wasn't her looks. It wasn't her hair. But it was something on the inside of her. And he goes to her father. And he pays for her 10 cows. Which no one ever paid 10 cows. And a 10-cow bride gets a 10-cow honeymoon. Oh God. So a couple years later, he brought her back to the village and she walked different. She dressed different. She acted different. There was something about her. What was it? She found out, oh God, she was worth something. who? Not to the village, but to the one who bought her. Hallelujah. We may not look like much to the world, but we're precious in his eyes. Peter was telling us what kind of sacrifice was given for us. But Paul was telling us what kind of sacrifice, a kind of people that sacrifice would produce. You see, a lamb without spot or blemish, a precious lamb without spot or blemish would produce a people. Oh God. Without spot or blemish. It takes good quality material to produce good quality material. And God took the best of the best because God wanted to make you a new creation. A glorious church. A glorious church. Without spot or without wrinkle. Now, years ago, I was in the Army. I was an airborne artillery at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. I fired a 155 howitzer. I was a gun buddy. They called us gun buddies. My job description was a 13 Bravo 10. I was a gun. I fired an assistant gunner. I fired the howitzer. We fired a 98 pound projectile. And we could fire it up to a max range of 21, 22, 23 miles depending on the charge. And so we would go out in the woods, and we constantly lived in the woods. I was in a strategic unit. We could be anywhere in the world, 24 hours fighting. That was our motto. Anywhere in 24 hours and fighting. We was direct fire support for the 82nd. And so, you know, we just spent all our time in the woods. Matter of fact, you know, when Reagan got shot, I was in the woods. We just always in the woods, always training. And so when we would come in from the motor pool, this is a long story, but I want to make a point. We come in from the motor pool, our barrels, we would fire so many howitzer rounds that would actually cause an atmospheric disturbance. And it rained on us every time we went to the woods for a week. It rained on us because we was constantly sending missiles, constantly causing a disturbance. Oh, you know, I think that's what we ought to do tonight. We'll send some missiles, cause an atmospheric, amen, so it would rain down upon us, rain down upon us. And so our guns, we had these steel barrels, and they would get rusty. And so we would come in from the field, and on Monday we would go down to the motor pool. And we'd take oil, and we'd take sand, and we'd take a rope. And so we'd put the oil in the sand, and then we'd loop the rope. And somebody would get on one side, somebody on the other. And we'd work that rope up and down the barrel, getting all the rust off of it. Well, when you spin a rope up and down a barrel with sand and oil, it gets all over you. But there was one guy in our unit. He wouldn't strike his hand at a fly. He walked around with his handkerchief. True story. We thought about killing him. I kind of hate to go that far. But he would walk around and he never would work. He'd say, hey, help us. He'd say, I'm too fine to work. You could cut bread with the crease in his breeches. His shoes would knock you out. They were so shiny. And so here we was with oil and sand all over us because we was working. And one day the captain come to the motor pool and we had a formation. He gave this guy the day off because he looked so good. I thought he might as well go home. He ain't doing nothing. He looked good, but he never done nothing. I don't want to be that kind of soldier. Someone that don't want to get their hands dirty. Oh, friends, I travel all over the country. I'm in service after service after service. And I see people, they don't want to clap. They don't want to amen. They don't want to raise their hand. They don't want to sweat. They don't want to pray. They don't want to sing. They don't want to take communion. They just don't want to get involved. They'll just come and sit there and fold their arms. They look good.
but they never do nothing. I don't want to just come and watch. I don't want to just amen myself when I preach. I want to amen when Brother Donnie preaches. I want to amen when Brother David preaches. I want to amen when, if it's the word, I want to amen it. If God's called me to preach, I want to preach. If God's called me to sing, He ain't done it. But if He did, I'd want to sing. Huh? They don't want to get involved. We're just spectators. We don't need spectators. We need some participators. Man, I don't get my garment. I've got to be without spot or blemish or wrinkle. I can't sweat. I can't shout. I might mess up my hair. Mess it up. We'll pay to get it fixed. To get that old arrogance off of you, be worth it. Woo. Man, my garment's without spot or blemish. I'm too elected. I'm too elected to get down at the altar and cry and sweat. And that's some people's attitude. I've been in church 22 years. There's some of you I've never seen come to the altar.
Come on.
Amen, friends. Well, I don't come every service either, but sometimes we need to come. Amen. Well, that went over good. Maybe you'll forgive me by page 3. You get back in. Huh? I might get my garment wrinkled. Well, look, I travel all over the country. The best way I found to get my garments wrinkled, huh? I get out sometimes and get gas, and I walk into a store, you know, it's got a mirror, and I look at it, and I'm like, my Lord. You know why? Because I've been sitting for hours. Best way I know to get wrinkled is just sit around and do nothing. Hard to get wrinkled when you're moving. I don't want to be like that, friends. I don't want to be that kind of soldier. I don't want to be that kind of Christian that can never pray, that can never enter in to someone else's suffering. Afraid to get dirty, afraid to sweat, afraid to cry. Oh God, whatever it takes, Lord. If I have to cry, let me cry. If I have to sweat, let me sweat. Whatever it takes to be ready. I don't want to be that kind of soldier. But let me be the one, like Caesar's army that the prophet talked about. He was going to have a big parade. And one man would be chosen from his army to ride with him. And all the men knew that would be them. So they trimmed their plumes. I guess that's what that thing's called. They shined their shoes. Just like that boy down at the motor pool. Oh my, they look good. Their armor was shiny. Their plumes were just right. Their boots knock your eyes out. They just knowed. They were the perfect model soldier. And the prophet said that Caesar began to pass by them. And there they stood, all of them, with their plumes and their armor. Every one of them looked exactly alike. Riding through there, he was looking at them. And as he passed, they went to salute him. And when he went by this one, he saw him kind of back in the ranks. He was all scarred up. His eye wouldn't work. His mouth pulled to one side with a horrible scar all the way across, down across his neck. As he went by, he tried to get his arm up. He tried to salute. And Caesar stopped. He said, "You! What's the matter with you? Where'd you get them scars? Where'd you get them scars at?" "Sir, the battlefield, fighting for my emperor. The prophet said, Caesar said, you will ride with me today. Why, Brother David? He saw someone that was willing to give their life for his kingdom. Not someone that just wanted to look good, but someone that was willing to pay the price. Oh, God, friends, I don't want just a belt buckle. I don't want just an eagle picture. I want a reality. Everybody said, I don't care whether I'm a DD, a PhD, or a double LD. I want some scars to show I've been in the battle. That's what Christians ought to do. Don't you choose the flowery, easy things. I'll take the way with the Lord's despised few. I've started with Jesus. Oh, Lord, take me through. You, climb up here. You're the guy I want to set beside me. Why? Because he showed he'd been in battle. Everybody said, God have mercy on a man that can cut his finger on a sardine can and get a citation. Brother Branham said, I want to be battle scarred. Paul said, I bear in my body the marks. Of Jesus Christ. That's why Brother Branham said, that's why I want to be on the battlefield. I get a citation, Brother G. Because I cut my hand on a sardine can. Brother Bam said, brothers, it's not plume trimming time. It's not educational days just to know all the answers. What happened on Sunset Mountain? I know. What I'm saying? I know. When he preaches, I know. Where he preaches, I know. Not just educational days. It's time testing time. It's time that God is testing his church to find battle scars of hard trials and fights and battles. That's the one who will ride by his side. Before any victory can ever be won, there must be great prices paid. Oh, what prices? Sometimes they are very deep. And they make great scars. Oh, God. A great price for a great victory. Sometimes it comes with great price. Sometimes it produces great scars. God, through trials, will tear everything you held precious. He'll tear it down all around you. Amen. Remember the night Brother Homer and Sister Rachel was killed. Jessica was hurt in the accident. And we were laying there in the hospital room. Down below the intensive care unit where they had Jessica. And Sarah was crying. She said, I've lost my daddy. I've lost my sister. She said, if I lose Jessica, I'll die. She said, I just can't live. And I'll forget my Lord. I turned my face to the wall. I said, God, what are you doing? You're tearing me to pieces. You're taking everything. Away from me. But sometimes through great trials comes great victory. In order to have a mountain, you've got to have a valley. In order to have a victory, you've got to have a battle. Don't you understand, my brother, my sister? God never put us here to lose. God put us here to win. But how can we win unless we battle? Before you can have a victory, there has to be a battle. There's no battles. There's no victory. We ought to be thankful for the battles and the trying. It's God giving us the opportunity to have victories. Oh my, don't that make it a little bit better now? See, the battles come along. Somebody's saying something bad about you. Sickness coming on to you. Maybe God give you those light afflictions. They might heal you and show His favor to you. Let you see that He means it when He says, I love you. I wonder sometimes if our ideal without spot or blemish matches what God thinks about it. Remember, Brother Branham said, we would sit across the table with battle-scarred warriors. God, don't let me sit there that day. And all I have is a paper cut from turning a message book. God, all I've ever done was turn a message book. Those things are fine. Those things are needful. But don't let me sit there that day and all I have is calluses from sitting. Don't let me sit there that day with hearing loss because I had the computer turned up loud so I could hear the service while I was fixing me some ice cream. Because I couldn't make it to church, so I just stayed home and streamed. Communion night. You see what I'm saying, friends? But let me take what He has given me and fight the best that I can. But Ben said He came to earth as a virgin. And at Calvary, He went to Calvary, He stood on this earth, He preached the gospel. He said, I'm going to give you some material. I want you to go up to the city of Jerusalem. I want you to wait there. For I'm going to dress you. I'm going to make you soldiers to fight against the wiles of the enemy. But first, before you go into the battlefront, go to Jerusalem and wait there. And what I give you, you follow me and fight the best that you can. Notice, Brother Dave, he didn't say, I'm going to sit here. You guys go on up there. But he's like that captain, Brother Brennan said, down there in Kentucky when they had that fire and they brought that fire truck in. He said they laid that ladder up and before it ever hit the roof, he was going up the ladder saying, follow me, boys. And that's the way Christ is. He's not in the background saying, take that mountain. He's in front saying, let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Follow me. And fight the best that you can fight. Let me get out there and take His word that God gave me and fight. Let me do with it the best that I can. When our battle rages, you become the real target. There's only one thing you can do. Put on the whole armor of faith. Stand true to God. March forward. God's army does not retreat. It goes on. If we make great strides, we make great strides. But Brother Robbie, if we can only take an inch, we're taking an inch. We're not backing up. We're not turning back. God wants soldiers who will get involved, not someone else. Wait for someone else to get out there and do it. Someone who will get involved. Well, Brother Darrell, we got Brother Donnie, we got Brother David, we got Brother Gene, we got Brother Terry, we got all these other preachers here. But the Bible don't say these signs shall follow the preachers. Remember the woman that felt led to pray for the baby? And she got up and prayed for the baby. And the woman come in the prayer line. And Brother Branham got ready to talk to her. And he said, you're already healed. You was healed. The baby was healed when that woman prayed for her. He said, why? Because she was a mother. She could enter in to the suffering of that woman with a sick baby more than a man could ever do it. Listen to this scripture. Psalm 78:9 said, the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. Oh God, believe it. Don't let that be me. If I die fighting, it's no disgrace. If I can't swing the sword like Brother Dottie, if I can't swing it like Brother Tim or Brother Branham or Brother Biscoe, just let me swing it with the best I can. But in the day of battle, in the day of battle, though I'm armed, don't you understand, my brother, my sister, God never sent us into battle with no weapons. He has armed us. We are an army. We're not Cub Scouts. We're not Boy Scouts. We're not on a butterfly collection seminar. We are soldiers, the army of the living God. The children of Ephraim being armed and carrying bows turned back. Can you imagine what it would be like, Brother Gene? In battle, on the front line, bullets flying, bombs bursting, to see fellow soldiers turn and run from the battle and leave you in the time of great need. When you need prayer, when you need support, when you need friendship, when you need a phone call, when you need a card in the mail, to turn in the day of battle. God don't want soldiers like that, friends. Someone who'll get involved. You say, Brother, I'm not a preacher. I'm not an evangelist. He never said you had to be. These signs shall follow them that believe. Are there any believers here? He's talking about you. David was a man after God's own heart. He went down to check on his brothers, and he found them down there. Plenty of armor, plenty of bodies, plenty of swords. But everybody was standing around. Nobody wanted to use what God gave them. Brother Darrell, what's God gave me? Well, he gave you his word. Brother Ben said he gave you the greatest weapon ever put in the hands of human beings, which is the weapon of prayer. More powerful than an atomic bomb. Well, I can't preach. Well, you can pray. Everybody was standing around. Nobody wanted to use what God gave them. They had cooled off. Their zeal had waned. Oh, they looked good. Heels the right length, skirts the right length. They look good. Just wasn't doing nothing. Oh, brother, sister, look at the things God gave us. What did he give us on the day of Pentecost? Licks of fire. And he said, when we come together, we bring those licks together. Hallelujah. Huh? Things God gave us, friends. Signs and wonders. Miracles. Shouting. Speaking in tongues. Visions. Amen. Dancing in the spirit. The ability to pray. Discernment. Amen. Amen. So, sometimes we sit around and say, oh God, people just sit around waiting for Brother Brandon to come back. wait for somebody else another eighth day or sixth Elijah. There is no promise of no six Elijahs. If you're waiting for another prophet to raise up, you're waiting on the wrong thing. It's not promised. No other messenger between Elijah the forerunner and Christ whom he forerun. Amen, brother. Did I preach? Thank you. Believe I will. But they sat around waiting on a prophet, waiting on a preacher, waiting on an airplane, waiting on a tent. That's all right, friends. But the thing of it is, God never promised that. But he did promise, these signs shall follow them that believe. David saw Goliath make a boast. That's all it took for David. He jumped right out there. Said, I'll let the dog, that dog, that dog, talk about my God like that. Let the head stay on that dog. Make fun of my God. He didn't have muscles. He didn't have a black belt in karate. He didn't have a manual how to whoop a giant for dummies. He didn't have any of that. But he had an anointing. He was anointed by a prophet just like us. Don't you understand? Elijah the prophet has prophesied over us. And there's an anointing upon us to fulfill the prophecy. He knew Samuel and anointed him. Poured the anointing oil on his head. He came up to the army that day. There stood big old Goliath making his boast. And the armies of God all backed up Reverend Reb Sable to the theology. And those Israelites circumcised and so forth. But they were scared. Oh, that reminds me of the church today. Scared to make a move. He came out and made a boast, but the wrong men heard it. For them. A little old scrawny runt little boy. About like that with a little piece of sheepskin wrapped around him. He said to mean to tell me you cowards will stand here and let that uncircumcised Philistine defile the armies of the living God. He was ready to put what he had into action. God gave him a slingshot, but God gave you his word. Others saw a giant. Others saw defeat. Others saw odds too great. David, he saw a target. No doubt in his flesh, he was scared. I'm not saying he wasn't scared. I was telling Brother Onion before I come out, they just wanted to take Jessica off life support system. And they told us that she's real swollen in her throat. So if we take the tube out, she can't breathe. She's so swollen, we probably can't get it back in. If we can't get it back in, she'll probably die. So what do you want, Mr. Ward? It's up to you. What do you want us to do? We'll do whatever you say. I don't mind telling you, I had a knot like that in my throat. I don't mind to tell you, I was scared. But Brother Donnie and Brother Calvin and Brother Gene Littleton and another deacon brother, I believe brother, maybe Brother Jimmy Whitson, had come up to the hospital with one of Brother Branham's shirts. And they laid that shirt over her like a blanket and we prayed for her. And I thought, I've got to believe something. I believe I'll just believe. They took that tube out. I tell you, friends, she breathed. It was terrible. It was horrible. But she never, by the grace of God, ever went back on it. Amen. Amen. No doubt in his flesh, he was scared. A boy against a giant. But he trusted in his anointing. Oh, God. Brother, sister, tonight, I want some scars to show I've been in battle. Sometimes those scars come through sickness. Where you have to wrestle with it day in and day out. Sometimes those scars come from your friends. They ask Jesus, where'd you get those scars? He said, in the house of my friends. Battles. When you try your best to help someone and they try their best to kill you.
Think about it.
But you pray anyway. You hold them before the Lord anyway. Because you're a soldier. I'm a soldier. It's my duty. It's our duty to pray for each other. Lift one another up. Bear one another's burdens. Be kind to one another. Tender-hearted one to the other. Forgiving one another. Loving one another. Let us come that day with battle scars all over us. Showing the results of the battle. God can only use a soldier he can trust. Keep on the firing. Battle scars. Battle scars. You know where scars come from? Wounds. Friends, we don't win every battle. If you think you win every battle, you got another thought coming. I've lost the mind battle. I've lost the flesh battle. I may lose a battle now and then. But I've already won the war. And when I get down that day, the battles won't matter. Only the victory. Audie Murphy, the most decorated soldier of World War II, when the enemy was advancing on him, Audie Murphy climbed up on a tank and used the walkie-talkie. He used the field phone to call in fire upon the Germans. He was calling fire for effect, fire for effect. Finally they said, Audie, how close are they to you? How close are they? Audie Murphy said, wait a minute. I'll let you speak to them. He was right there in the middle of it. He was willing to call fire on his own self in order to save his brother. Amen. Greater love hath no man than he who will lay his life down for a friend. Oh God, let that be us. Let us be frontline warriors. Let us be courageous. Say, Brother Darrell, I'm a nobody. I ain't got no ability. Good. Perfect answer. Because that's exactly the kind God uses. God don't want my ability. God wants my willingness. God can't use my education. Oh God. He knows better than use my education. He don't want my education. He don't want my fancy talk. He don't want my ability to put words together. He just wants my heart. My willingness. That's the way David was. That's the way David's men were. The kind of men David had around him. They were Gentile warriors who knew David was anointed king. And they knew David would reign no matter how bad it looked. They knew he would reign as king. One day David, at the mouth of the cave, looked down in to Bethlehem. And there was the well. There was no water in all Pakistan or Palestine or however, wherever. There was no water like the water from Bethlehem. It was fresh. It was cool. It was clean. It was life-giving. Some of that water in that country was poison. It brought death. It was bitter. They called it black water. And David, in exile, looking down upon Bethlehem, where Bethlehem had the best bread. It had the best soul. It had the best water. And the prophet said, all of God's children are born in Bethlehem. David knew he had a right to drink from that well. And I say to you tonight, my brother, my sister, we have a God-given right to drink from the well of Bethlehem. It's a part of my inheritance. It's a part of my birthright. To eat the bread and drink the water from Bethlehem. But David looked between him and the well were Philistines. And David couldn't get to the water because of the Philistines. David could remember. Of course, it probably wasn't blue. But David could remember just how good that water tasted. When you're sweating and you're tired and you're thirsty. And David thought, oh, what I wouldn't give for a drink from Bethlehem. How about you, David? How long's it been since you've been to the well? How long have you let the Philistines get between you and the well? Remember when you used to drink? Remember when you used to pray all night? Lay in the altar? Remember when you shouted? Remember when you danced in the Spirit? How long has it been, friends, since you've been to the well? Well, God don't. The water's still there. Amen. It's not the well. It's the Philistines. Yes, sir. We've let them get between us and our thirst. But I'm here to tell you tonight that water is worth fighting for. It's worth some stars to get to the well. David said, oh, what I wouldn't give to drink from that well. And three of David's men heard it. And two of them went, grabbed swords. And one of them grabbed a bucket. He said, Brother Darrell, a bucket? Well, friends, I ain't too smart. But why'd he carry the water in? Two of them had a sword. One of them had a bucket. And if you still want to believe it, that's a direct quote from the prophet. Two of them had a sword. Then it said, I want the sword. It looks so much better in my hand. No, you got the bucket, you keep the bucket. I don't want the sword. No, each man found the place. If God's called you, carry the sword, carry the sword. God's called you, carry the bucket, carry the bucket. Whatever God's called you to do, do it to the best of your ability. And here they went, three men. Through 15 miles of Philistines. Captain, first sergeant reporting. What is first sergeant? David's men's attacked. No. Yes, sir. How bad is it? Bad. Real bad. Reports are in, sir. They've already fought through 15 miles of our best soldiers. My God. What kind of secret weapon David got?
Oh, if they only know.
It wasn't David's weapon. It was David's God. How many are they?
Sir, there's a...
Well, come on, first sergeant. How many?
Well, sir, there's... There's three.
Did you say 3,000?
No, sir.
Did you say 300? No, sir. Did you say 30?
No, sir.
I said three. What are they using? What do they have? Well, sir, two of them has got a sword. And one of them got a bucket.
Did you say rocket? No, sir. I said bucket.
But it's an awesome bucket. Hallelujah. I want the devil to know tonight God can take a bucket and whoop his hand. Hallelujah. They fought through 15 miles of Philistines and back. Let me tell you something, brother, sister. You had to fight to get here tonight, but you're here. While you're here, let's take communion. Let's feast. Let's praise God. Let's have church. Let's wash feet. Let's pray for the sick. Let's have revival. Because you know why? When you get back, you have to fight all the way back home. So while you're here, let's have church. Like that woman over there in the country, you know, where the soldiers wouldn't let them have church. And she went to a bread company and found out where they was having service. On the way to church, a guard stopped her and said, "Where are you going?" She said, "My brother died. I'm going for the reading of the will." Y'all know the story. She goes to church and they shout, they sing songs, they dance in the spirit, they have revival, communion, foot washing. On the way home, she's saying, "I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them." And that same soldier stopped her again, put the bayonet right up in her face, and said, "What did he leave you?" She said, "He left me everything. Oh, saints of God, we're not orphans. He's gave us everything." I want some battle scars, friends, to show we've been in battle. God, in the midst of criticism and everything, thou hast taken us through every storm, Lord. And in that great day when we stand there, we want to show battle scars that we've been on the battlefield. And Father, while we're here in the battle of life, let us be strong. Let us be courageous, knowing that just across the water yonder lays eternity. And help us to come at that day as great warriors with battle scars all over us, showing the results of the battle. Battle scars to show that we've been there. We just didn't talk it, but we walked it. Must I be carried home to heaven on a flowery bed of ease while others fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas? Just give me a few minutes, I'll close. Peter said Jesus Christ was a lamb without spot or blemish, but notice, he didn't say he was without scars. He bore scars that he had been in battle.
Jesus Christ bore in his body scars that he had been in battle. And the prophet said, Brother Larry, he'd been in battle for you. Not for himself, but he bore the scars in his body to show that he had been in battle for you. Well, you say, where at, brother, now? In his hands. I have conquered both death and hell. What was it, brother? He had the scars in his hands to show he'd been in battle. Glory to God in the highest. He's the mighty conqueror. He went toe to toe with the devil. Conquered our enemy. Proved by the scars in his hands. The price had been paid. He went to the Father's throne as a mighty conqueror. Amen. Brother Ben said, when we see him sitting on the throne of David, he will still have the scars in his hands. When we gather that day at that millennium, the throne of David, he'll sit there with scars in his hands to show you and I. He went toe to toe. So that you and I could be there. The Lamb without spot or blemish, not without scars. And his elected queen who will ride with him will be as he is, without spot or blemish. But she will bear the scars of the battle. She took the word and conquered the enemy. A battle-scarred queen. A battle-scarred bride. For a battle-scarred groom. You will ride with me. Oh, my friends, I hope that I have enough scars that day that I won't feel out of place when I sit there. Oh, Brother David, a 53-year-old that I have done nothing for. But you know, I wouldn't be there that day. You ever been somewhere you felt out of place? I don't want to be there that day. Instead of called battle-scarred warriors who was burned at the stake, crucified upside down. Women and their babies ripped from their bodies. Posted up there in my body the marks of Jesus Christ. Oh God, help me. Sat there that day across the table, battle-scarred warriors. Brother Ben said, we'll remember the meetings and we'll cry, and he will walk out with those nail-scarred hands and wipe the tears from our eyes. Say, don't cry no more. It's all over. No more traveling, Brother David. No more Mondays trying to get over the weekend, Brother David. No more lonely nights in hotel rooms. The Bibles will be stacked. The Bibles will be closed. And we'll be home. You think sometimes, friends, the God who can do anything. Why, Brother Frank, would he leave the scars?
You know, they had to put a feeding tube in Jessica because her brain was so damaged she couldn't swallow. So they had to feed her through her stomach. And she'd come through the house. She's about 6 years old. She'd come through the house one day. She said, Daddy, I said, when's the scar going to go away? I said, honey, it's going to be there for a while. But it'll be all right. I said, it makes you special. You got two belly buttons. And she just went through the house playing. And I was sitting there at the table. I was studying Genesis 24. I'll never forget it. I was looking at that scripture. And I said, Father, you can take that scar from Jessica. And you've done so much for her. It would be a sin for me to doubt that you couldn't do that. I know you can take that scar from her body. My God, if he make blinded eyes see, he can sure take a scar. Sitting there, friends. All of a sudden, just a warm feeling. A few times I felt like the Lord's ever spoke to me. I just get this warm feeling come over me right before he speaks. And something just spoke to my heart. I said, I can take that scar from her. And I just laid my head down like that on the table. And I never moved. It seemed like for minutes went by. And I just laid there on the table. And I felt it come over me again, just a warm feeling. And something spoke to my heart. Said I could take that scar from her. But I left it. So that every time you see it, it reminds you of where I brought her from. And I wonder that day, Brother Donnie, if the scars will be there, Brother David. Brother Davis, I can look at one another and remind us of where he brought us from. When I used to work at the VA hospital, I'd help those soldiers. They'd come in for surgery, minor surgery, and I'd help them get dressed, help them get their stuff ready to go home. Some of them old fellas, I bless their hearts. Their eye was shot out. Their jaw was shot off. Horrible scars, their stomachs, where they took shrapnel and they had to operate on them in a field. Horrible scars on their bodies. But every time I looked at them, I couldn't help but cry. I'm just soft-hearted. Just forgive me. But I used to tell them old fellas, Brother Skip, you remember you worked over there? I used to tell them, I want to thank you. Thank you. For going through that. So that I could live in a land of freedom. They bore in their bodies the marks of war. To show that I lived in a free country. But when I think of Jesus, who bore in his body the scars, till they beat him, until you could see his kidneys, and he bore those marks for my healing. He sweated in the garden till his blood, his sweat was his drops of blood, wrestling it out in the garden with every soul weighed on his shoulders. He wrestled it out to bear in his body the marks of our freedom. When we see him sitting on the throne of David, he will still have the scars to show. You're here because I paid your price of redemption. A battle-scarred bride for a battle-scarred groom. Do you love him? Revelation 3:21 says, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcome and sit down with my Father in his throne. Revelation 19. She come riding out on a white horse with her army with him. A battle scarred. Army. Someone he has confidence in who had been in the battle.
Amen.
Oh, battle scarred. Battle worn soldiers of the cross. Take courage. Don't be ashamed of the scars. They are the evidence that we have been in battle. Don't let me sit there that day and feel out of place. If I die fighting, it is no disgrace. If I can't swing the sword like these other brothers, let me swing it with the best of my ability. And when that day, we can sit down at the table and look at the scars and remember the great battles. Is that the way you feel tonight? Let's just bow our heads. Oh Lord. Would I thank God the great price you paid that I could be healed, that I could be forgiven. The price you paid, Lord, that I could sit here tonight and say, you promised me you'd never leave me, nor would you forsake me. You never said there wouldn't be a battle. You never said there wouldn't be a hard road. You never said there wouldn't be valleys. You never said, Lord, there wouldn't be hard times. You never said it, Lord. But you did say, I'll be right there with you. You never gave us this and sat back and said, now go take it. But you said, follow me and fight with the best of your ability. Oh God, tonight, Lord, let me report for duty. Let me find my place tonight, Lord, among your great army. Grant it, Lord, I pray. Lord, you never put us here in Laodicea to lose. But you put us here because you had confidence that we would win. And Lord, you never just dressed us up and put us on the sideline, Lord. But you put us into battle to take your word, Lord. And meet our enemy. Oh, Father, I remember one time when I played football for Happy Valley many years ago. And we went down to Jonesboro, I believe, Lord, to play a ball game. And when we got down there, the flu had went through and the team was sick. And they didn't have enough to play. And they forfeited the game and we got a win. But Lord, on the way home that night, it was the quietest bunch of boys you ever heard on a bus. Because we had no grass stain. We had no bruises. We had no battle. We had a victory, but there wasn't a battle. And Lord, you just didn't put us off to the side. But you actually made us a part of this thing. That we could take the word for this hour. And fight our enemy, Lord. Oh, God, help us tonight. Lord, I don't want to be all dressed up and never done nothing, Lord. I don't want to be that soldier, Lord, that your shoes are shiny and the uniform is pressed. But I've never done nothing. Lord, help me tonight, God, to take one little, just to be willing to be used by you. Oh, God, grant it, I pray. Grant it, Lord Jesus. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Is that the way you feel tonight, friend? I want some battle scars, Brother Benham said, to show I'd been in the battle, to take God's word and wrestle the devil, to wrestle it away from him, for my children, for my husband, for my wife, for my church, for revival. Oh, is that the way you feel tonight? Soldiers of the cross. Amen. Amen. Just keep on the firing line, saints. Keep on the firing line tonight. If we die fighting, it is no disgrace. Keep on the firing line. Is that the way you feel tonight? Say, Lord, I want to report for duty. I want to be one of David's men. If I've got nothing but a bucket, I want to use it, Lord. Grant it tonight, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. Are you soldiers of the cross tonight? Are you in God's army? Then let's stand to our feet tonight as soldiers of the cross. Let's just sing that song. Keep on the firing line tonight. Just before we go into communion. Do you love him tonight? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's start out with a chorus. Where are you at, brother? Let's start out with a chorus. Amen. Oh, you must fight. Be brave against all evil. Never run or even lag behind. For God and the right, just keep on the firing line. Well, if you're in the battle for the Lord and Christ, if you win, my brother, surely you must fight. Oh, there are many dangers that we all must face. If we die still fighting, it is no disgrace. Cowards in the service will find no place. Oh, you must fight, be brave against all people. Never run or even lag behind. If you would win for God in the right, just keep on. Well, now God will only use a soldier. Keep on the fight. If you wear a crown, then bear the cross you must. Keep on the firing line. Oh, life is but to labor for the Master dear. Help to banish evil and to spread good cheer. We'll be rewarded for your service here. So keep on the firing. Oh, you must fight, be brave against all evil. Never run or even lag behind. If you must win for God in the right. Well, let's listen to this now. When we get to heaven, brother, we'll be glad. Keep on the firing line. Oh, how we'll praise the Savior for the call we had. Just keep on the firing. Amen. Yes, Lord. We have helped to win, leading them to Jesus. With a shout of welcome, we'll all march in. Oh, you must fight, be brave against all evil. Never run, amen, the light behind. If you will win for God and the right, just keep on the fire. Oh, you must fight, be brave against all evil. Never run or even lie. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, I can't wait to that day. Can you? You know that song says, when it's my time, I want to take my time. I just want to look at the scars, don't you? To know he was willing to pay that for us. Brother Branham said they would brand the sheep. When they branded the last sheep, the shepherd would hold out his hand. They'd take that same brand and brand him in the hand. Brother Branham said when Jesus gave him his hands and they nailed those nails, he never pulled back because they were engraven in the palms of his hands. Your names. And he stayed there. Oh, if he had jerked back, might have left my name off. Might have left your name off. But he stayed there until every name was represented in the palms of his hands. And when the devil says, you can't have them, I've got them. I'll keep them. He can show the scars in his hands. I bought their redemption. They're mine. Amen. We're his tonight. We're his tonight. Hallelujah. Okay. Can we sing one more just before communion? I know it's getting late, but let's sing a song. I love him. I love him. That's what Calvary said. Let's just sing that chorus. Amen. Amen. I love you. I love you. That's what Calvary says. Think of it now. I love you. I really love you. I love you. It's written in red. Now let's sing it back to him. We love. That's what Calvary. Remember, it said, pick up your cross and follow me. We'll love. Oh, tell him, we love you. It's written in me. Jesus. Lord. All my life, Lord. I've always felt like I was a bother to people. I always apologized for bothering them. I always felt like I was so insignificant. But one who could see. You never paid 10 cows for me. But you gave a spotless lamb. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, we love you tonight. And as we get ready now, Lord, to enter into the communion service, may we be mindful tonight of the great price you paid for our fellowship. The only thing you ever asked the Father for was our fellowship. We love you tonight, Lord Jesus. I love you tonight, Lord Jesus. I just don't have adequate words to tell you. Just how much I love you, Jesus. Bless us now, Lord, as we enter into the communion service. We're so grateful your presence we feel here with us right now. Lord, as they come tonight to take communion, if there be any sick among us, Lord, may they be healed tonight, God. As you bore in your body the scars for our freedom. Thank you, Lord. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, saints. Brother Donnie asked me if we would lead the communion service tonight, so bear with me. I've never done this before, but I just trust we can do it. Pleasing to him if the deacon brothers come, as they come now to make ready. If you have your Bible, share with us to the 1 Corinthians. Let's read from chapter 11 tonight. Starting at verse 23. Oh, don't you just love him tonight? There's times like this, I just would like to go over in the corner and sit down and just cry. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which I also deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also, he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, the cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye eat and drink in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink of this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Let's just bow our heads for just a moment of silent prayer. Just examine yourself. Pray for yourself. Pray for each other now as we just take this moment. God bless you, saints, brothers. Heavenly Father, as I look upon these pieces of bread, Lord, the raggedy edges torn in different directions. Oh God, it reminds me, Lord, of how they took you. They striped you, Lord. Your skin was torn, Lord. The Bible said your face marred more than any man. That we, Lord, through those stripes could be healed. Lord, you never took those stripes for yourself. But you took them for me, Lord. And I pray tonight, Father, may you bless this bread. Sanctify it, Lord. Bless those that partake of it tonight. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Heavenly Father, remove the lids, Lord, the aroma. It instantly brought us stimulation. Lord, we know that on the day of Pentecost, you stimulated your church with the very life that you live, Lord. You gave that blood, Lord, the token is in the blood, not the blood, but the life in the blood, Lord. And you gave that life to secure our fellowship, dear God. We is alienated from you, and your desire, Lord, was that we would be one, Lord God. And the only way that prayer would ever be answered was for you, Lord, to give that life, God, that it may come back upon us, that through that life, Lord, we would be one. Oh God, tonight I pray, sanctify this one. Bless those that partake of it, Lord. Receive honor and glory to thyself. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Turn with me to St. John, chapter 13. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. St. John, chapter 13, verse 2. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he was come from God, and he went to God. He riseth from supper and laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girdeth himself. After they had poured water into a basin, he began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but he is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garment and was set down again, he saith unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye called me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ought ye also ought to wash one another's feet? For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Amen. I bless the sisters may be dismissed to the fellowship hall, and the brothers will wash feet here. May God richly bless you. Thank you.
the glory and the lifter of my head. Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. You're the glory and the lifter of my head. Oh, Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. You're the glory.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I will not be afraid. I will not turn back. I will not retreat. I'm a soldier in the army of God. We're going forward. We're going forward. The next event is the rapture of the church. Hallelujah. 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 Well, praise Him tonight. Praise Him tonight. Worship Him. Amen. 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 Oh, Jesus. For this cause was I born. For this purpose came I into the earth. Amen. This is the hour. This is the season. This is our time in the sun. This is our purpose for being on the earth. Amen. Amen. Moses split the sea. Daniel slept with the lions. Oh, hallelujah. Luther preached justification. Wesley preached sanctification. Pentecost came and restored the gifts. But I have been put upon the earth to rapture, to change in a moment and a twinkling of an eye. My purpose for being on the earth, hallelujah, is to manifest. Though I face 10,000 demons of Laodicea, I will not be afraid. I will not lay my armor down. I will not turn back. Amen. Amen. He's my guide. He's my shield. He's my comfort. He's my joy. He's my peace. Amen. He's my friend. He's my bridegroom. He's my surgeon. Amen. Amen. He's the keeper of my soul. The keeper of my flame. There's none like Him in the land. There's none like Him on the earth. There's none like Him in the heavens. Thou art God and God alone. And we worship You and we praise You and we magnify Your name. Hallelujah. 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 Do you know my Jesus? Do you know Him tonight? Look at the scars. Look at the scars in His hands. Amen. 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 Do you not know You are my friend? Do you not know You have always been my friend? Amen. 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 Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Thou, Lord, art a shield for me. You're the glory and the lifter of my head. Amen. Oh, thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Amen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Oh, God. God, I wish I had 10,000 tongues. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Amen. Oh, Jesus. Oh, thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. The more I seek You, the more I find You. The more I find You, the more I love You. I want to sit at Your feet, drink from the cup in Your hand, lay back against You and feel Your heart beat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can understand. I melt in Your peace, it's overwhelming. The more I seek You, the more I find You. The more I find You. Yes, Lord. The more I love You.
Amen. Just love him a little bit. Amen.
Understand, I rest in your peace. It's overwhelming. The more I love, the more I find you. The more I find you, the more I love you. I want to sit at your feet.
Oh yes, Lord. Yes, Father. I love you, Lord Jesus. I love you tonight, Lord Jesus.
It's so deep, Lord, can understand. I rest in your peace. It's overwhelming.
Everyone now.
The more I see you,
you shall find me, saith the Lord, when you seek me with all your heart. You shall find me. I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. A little while the world sees me no more, yet ye shall see me, because I live, ye shall live also. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there may you be also. Hallelujah.
Lay back against you and me. Sit at your feet, drink from this cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heartbeat. Your love is so deep,
this love is so deep.
The more that I surrender, the lighter my load. The more that I release my cares, the more you take control. That wrote this song passed away a couple of weeks ago, and it gets easier to understand this road I'm traveling down. No more wavering or wandering, now I'm standing on solid ground, and I know I'm headed to my future home, and this love I feel is yours alone. Every day that I live, Lord, I love you more. The more a little lighter, and the more that I, if I could just release myself, I would find out that you would take control. The more that I can humble myself in my own sight, be small, then you will lift me up. Myself, the more you lift me up in you, Lord, every day I live. Don't you love the Lord? Let's just worship Him. Where else do you have to be tonight? Yes, the more, the more, the more, the more that I, if I would just humble myself, I would find out that you would take control. Release myself in your grace, Lord. The more you take control. The more. If I could just become so small in my own sight. Anywhere to be. Glory. Can we just worship Him a little longer? If you got to go, go. It'll be all right. It'll be all right. Help with the pastor. It'll be all right. He's worshiping. He's worshiping. Let's worship with Him. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's sing this one.
I command my hands to praise the Lord.
Clap like this.
I command my hands to praise the Lord. I command my hands, one time, to praise the Lord.
Clap like this.
I command my hands to praise the Lord. Here we go. Now, hands, you got to praise the Lord. Hands, you got to praise the Lord. Everybody, hands, you got to praise the Lord.
Clap one time.
Hands, you got to pray.
I command my feet. Watch this.
I command these feet.
Sometimes you gotta speak to your feet.
I command my feet to praise the Lord. I command my feet to praise the Lord. I command my feet to praise the Lord.
Watch this.
Feet, you got to praise the Lord. Yeah. Feet, you got to praise the Lord. Oh, feet, you got to praise the Lord. I command my mind to obey God's word. I command my mind to obey God's word. I command my mind to obey God's word. I command this soul, mind to obey God's word. Oh, mind, you got to obey God's word.
There, brothers. Now just right over the hill. Keep it going. Keep it going. Just right over here, there's this little place called Nappies. Don't act like y'all don't know where it is and what it is. Now they're getting crunk up and cranked up and all this other kind of stuff on Saturday night. And we receive the word of God. We receive liberty. It don't matter to me what you think or what your neighbor thinks. Just obey and praise the Lord for a little while. Here we go.
I command my hands to praise the Lord.
Come on with me.
Come on, y'all ain't doing it. Everybody ain't praising the Lord. Let me see your hands. I command my